In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey, the podcast where we cover all the pop culture we love to hate, from the classic reality TV moments of the past and present to the latest Daily Mail headlines and everything in between. We'll dive into all the infamous and notorious messes you can't stop watching. I'm looking at you, Jax Taylor. I'm your host, Ryan Bailey.
Yeah. Lean back. Lean back.
We could get it.
Now lean back. Lean back. Lean back.
What is up, folks? It's So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey. This is Ryan Bailey. This is your Tuesday episode. We are coming right out of the gate. Monday, what a, I was about to say shit show, but it was just that we lost an extra hour. So you're still on that sleep schedule from the daylight savings time. And that's the only thing that sucked. Monday's always genuinely, I find everybody kind of breaks down Mondays into two camps. Either you're a, yeah, it's Monday, let's tackle the week, or you're like, oh man, I got a case of the Mondays. Which one are you? I think I'm a case of the I know I'm a case of the Mondays guy. I start feeling comfortable with the week right around Thursday night is when I usually really come alive. So I've been catching up with everything. This is going to be a great episode. It's going to be not a little different. I mean, it's going to be the same thing, you guys. But we have a guest today that I've wanted to talk to for a long time. Pretty much any guest on here I've wanted to talk to. But this one I've wanted to talk to for a long time. You guys might know her from a little show called Real Housewives of New York. Let me give you a clue. Holla! That's right. Heather Thompson is coming on the podcast today, and she has a podcast actually for the same production company over at iHeartRadio that I do. So they hooked me up with this because I was like, they're like, do you want to talk to her? And I was like, yeah. Why are you? Yeah, don't even ask. I guess I want to talk to Heather Holla Thompson. And then I listened to her podcast, and it was really cool because you know those things that you listen to and you hear them at the right time, or there's some sort of positive message or somebody trying to help you think through business or life or how you eat. I mean, I guess that's lifestyle, right? But Heather has a podcast called In My Heart. It's produced by the same company that produces mine. And she was just great. Like, we talk a little bit about New York, but I got to say, this is not, and I didn't want to run kind of a lascivious interview. I know most people would be more interested in us here, like, you know, us talking shit for an hour. I totally get that. I do. And there are times in the show that we do that. But I kind of had bigger questions for Heather, and I was just really excited because here's somebody that has gone through a lot in their lives who has made a success out of a lot of things. And I also, we do get a dip into this last season because the more I read about it, the more I always get curious about, like, why did you come back and how did they pitch it to you? Because we all saw it. It was kind of a mess of a season. And we've talked to Ebony on this show, and hopefully we'll talk with Leah at some point as well. And I you know, we're not, she doesn't talk bad about them. And another thing that I love that Heather did, I've been thinking about this a lot, and we talk about the concept of forgiveness. You guys heard I was talking about it on Monday as well. And we talk about her appearance on Watch What Happens Live after the season or during this to kind of apologize or clarify the statements that she made. And I always thought that was kind of a really good move to actually come out and go, this is what I meant. This is, and I'm sorry for what I said or how it was taken. And this is the context in which I said these things, kind of facing the issue and doing it with kind of grace and style. And I really did appreciate that. So we talk about that for a moment as well. But overall, she's just a really, I sound so geeky when I'm like, she's a great spirit, but I thought, you know, like there's a people where I was like, oh, she makes me like, it was, I talk to these people and it's like, depending on the day I'm having, you know, it'll either hit you at the right time or it doesn't. And I was talking to her and it just kind of hit me at the right time. And I just needed to hear from somebody like her. And I was really enjoying listening to the episodes, her past episodes of her podcast, because it was just great. She just has something to say about everything, and it just definitely a different relationship with her podcast than I have with mine. And they're both awesome. Well, I mean, I don't know if mine's awesome, but so that's going to happen today. Now, we're going to do a couple quick news stories. I don't want to make this super long today. Yesterday's was almost 2 hours, and I realize I've been doing these 2-hour ones a lot, which I know people like, but I want to, you know, strongly suggest going over to the Patreon. If you want to hear a Gallery Girls recap, me and Meditza Lopez just did our Shooting the Shit episode, which is actually a really good, it was like a 50 minute episode, but I don't know. I really like those because me and Meditza are actually friends. So it's not, you know, there's no, like, sometimes I'll get a little bit Ryan Seacresty on here of like, hey, it's so bad, it's good. It's like mellow. We just talk as friends and, you know, we tease each other. We talk about our pasts, things like that. We talk a lot about dating in this one, in this Patreon episode. So if you're always looking for more stuff, which I can't imagine you are, but if you are, go on over to the Patreon. And by the way, hello. I want to say hi to Lori. I need to answer your email, Lori. It is coming. It has been a busy day. And also, this was cool. One of the listeners let me know who, her name's Heather, and she asked a lady on a date, and the lady said yes. And I was so proud of her because we get very nervous on dates, and we get very nervous asking people out and stuff. And I just wanted to say, hey, you did it. I am very, that is a so bad it's good. You just hit it out of the park, Heather. That is amazing. I am so proud. I'm going to need to get updates on that date entirely. I've had some of the worst first dates in my life. I've talked about them. The first year of the podcast, I talked a lot about them. Like one time my car got set on fire on a first date, accidentally, because I left the ignition on. And I left the car running because I was so nervous. Like I was so in my head. I locked the car with the engine running and music blaring. And I was so nervous that I just wasn't aware of it until I came out to the car 2 hours later. And the Beverly Center parking garage was all just filled with black smoke, and my poor white Corsica, and like Counting Crows was blaring, and I was like, I love Counting Crows. And then I realized it was coming from my car, and I was like, no. And like, you can't, that's hard to explain to a girl of like, well, I was such a dipshit nervous person that I left it on. Hey, do you want to go out for another drink? Like, it doesn't work. So Heather, I hope your date goes way better than most of my dates have gone. I believe in you. I totally believe in you. You can do this. In fact, that's what it's really all about, right? It's like we watch all of these reality shows and all this pop culture stuff as a respite from our own lives, from actually sometimes living our own lives, because the reality of living your own life is sometimes so damn hard and scary. Like I'm schwitzing right now just thinking about going on a date. Like it's that shit is hard. So please go out and do something hard this week and then tell me about it. That'll make me go out and do. I went and hiked today. I stuck to my diet today. Those are two hard things. I did that. Wow. Okay. What a start to the week. So we've got some news. Now, yesterday I was talking to you guys about Katie Maloney and Tom Schwartz. There's a lot of rumors going around that they have separated. Now, take this with a grain of salt as anything. The Sun, the U.S. Sun, which is pretty much a tabloid, has a headline saying Vanderpump Rules, Katie Maloney and Tom Schwartz's split after 12 years together. It says, now a source close to Katie, 35, and Tom, 39, exclusively told The Sun that while they have been flip-flopping whether or not to stay in their relationship, they are currently spending time apart. Katie and Tom have split and gotten back together and split and gotten back together. They're currently not together. No, she's doing her own thing right now, the insider claimed. They continued, they flip-flop, they're still cordial and see each other and go to the same events because of their mutual friend group, but they just focus on themselves. She hasn't filed for divorce yet, but it's being discussed. They're just taking time apart right now and seeing what happens. So I interviewed Tom Sandoval in mid-January or something, you know, and I know they were not separated at that time, and just how we had discussed a bunch of things even off mic. So I know that, but you know, they also I they might be one of those couples that, you know, we all know that, like, split, get back together, split, get back together. So who knows? I think if you go by their social media that you do see, it looks like they both are spending time apart. But, you know, you just hope for the best. I mean, that part of when I separated from my ex, that first part, like, you're living on adrenaline. You know, I just remember, God, I remember at one point living in my car for a couple nights because I just, it was just so, like, I think about that now and you're just like, how did I get through that? Because you're barely getting sleep. You're worried all the time. You're sick. I mean, it's so hard. It kind of, like, I don't know. The human body has this kind of amazing ability to just, like, take care of you at times. Like, I think about it now and I'm just like, oh my God. So for both of those dudes, I hope they are okay. And it's one of those things where I do know people close to that situation, but I also just want you to know, guys, I don't ask shit like that because I'm also not trying to be friends with reality stars. Like, I mean, I think there was a point maybe 3 years ago that I was like, oh, it'd be really cool. Or I thought, but now you realize, like, it kind of takes away your ability to actually tell the truth in situations. I mean, we saw it with Heather Gay and Jen Shah last night, right? Like, wow. At what point, too, is the onus on, like, Jen? Like, Jen should feel really guilty that she's letting her friends go that to bat for her. You know, like, at some point you do have to take, you know, these people are going out of their way, ruining some of their reputations to speak up for you. And I think there is kind of a narcissism in that of just allowing people to do that when it is a very grim situation. And you're really, you know, in Jen's case, it looks like she's really letting people not just go to bat, but almost in some cases, like, take the fall for her. Like, almost in some cases, just look like an idiot. But I like to be able to say what I think. So it's very hard. And I'm not looking to be friends. I'm not looking to, you know, say, hey, like, dude, going to Tom Sandoval's house, that's one thing. That was like, I came out of the womb wanting to do that. But, you know, and I get a fucking kick going to Dorit's room. I get a kick, like, but also I wouldn't get a kick out of, you know, going to Dorit's house, like, and meet, being like, I don't want to hang out with Dorit. I want to go to the Dorit's room at Buca di Beppo and take funny pictures and be stupid there. There's, like, a difference. Like, I don't want to be a part of the show. I want to talk about the show and kind of the deeper meanings of the show. I'm really excited. Actually, I have a guest coming on in a couple of weeks who is a PhD, and we're going to be talking reality shows because she wrote a really, really interesting book about all of this. So I'm very, very excited to talk to her. I can't wait to share that with you guys. So we'll find out more. I will let you know as soon as I know anything more. Also, I told you Beverly Hills is coming back in May along with Real Housewives of Atlanta. And now we have word that Southern Charm, we are going to have a busy May, folks. You gotta buckle up because May is going to kick our butts in terms of not living our own lives and watching TV. It's going to be a tough May, you guys. Also, we have it now that Real Housewives of Miami, they are going to be airing the full season over on Bravo starting in April, I believe. So you're going to see that on Bravo, not Peacock. It's already fully aired on Peacock, and people are like, that sucks. That's why I got a Peacock subscription. Now everybody gets it. And they did the same thing with Ultimate Girls Trip, and I think this was their plan the entire time, was to try to get people over there at first and then use that content over on Bravo. It's like kind of a smart decision. I don't know why people are bitching about it. And for the people who don't have Peacock, it is your chance to see it now. It's a very good show. But I think if you would go into any of the contracts of these ladies, you would probably see the clause in there that they knew. There's a big motorcycle going on. That they knew that this would be happening, that it would not just be on Peacock, but it eventually would be on Bravo as well. So the other thing, too, is that we got our first look at the upcoming The Kardashians on Hulu, premiering April 14th. Like I said, busy April, busy May of TV. The preview looks, the trailer looks good, you guys. But here, We've been fooled by trailers all our lives, right? The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City had an amazing trailer, and we saw how that this season turned out. So we're going to do a full trailer breakdown later in the week. So we're going to go through all of those moments together. And if you don't like the Kardashians, you can just fast forward or go to the timestamp that you prefer. There were some good moments, man. And there's also some moments where I'm like, shit, don't put that in there. We do get to see Tristan in there and talking about their complicated relationship. We have a moment with Courtney saying she wants to have a baby with Travis Barker. We get Kim getting a text message from Pete and her smiling. We see Kanye in it, which I'm like, no. Of course, the Kanye Kim stuff has dragged on today. What feels like 653. Where Kanye put an Instagram post of little buttons that little North had. He's obsessed with North. Like I talked to me, obsessed with North, doesn't know the other kids' names. Has on North's backpack has a button of Kim and a button of Kanye, like cartoon buttons. And then the middle button was an alien, which I thought was like kind of funny and cool. And I was like, kind of want those buttons. And he was like, I have to fight to get my children and I pick her up for school last week. And this is what I see. And I was like, I don't, and this is why I go so hard for my family. Don't worry, Northy. Daddy's here and God is going to protect. It was just, and then Kim wrote underneath his Instagram post. Kim was like, stop with this narrative. You actually just came and picked up the kids for school this morning. What are you talking about? So I want to postulate the theory that if we think the Kardashians and Kris Jenner are good at manipulating the media, let me also say that I think Kanye is very good at it as well. Now, he wants to keep talking about this this narrative that we're all calling him crazy. And I want to postulate the theory that maybe he's not crazy. Maybe he knows exactly what he's doing, but maybe he's just not working and maybe he's a step out of the game and he doesn't do it as deftly. So a lot of this shit that he thinks he's doing kind of gets poked full of holes. I had made a comment on Instagram yesterday where, you know, the thing is, there's a lot of rumors out there with Kanye where he talks big in rap songs and he talks big on Instagram and social media. But in reality, from what I've heard in multiple instances, the guy's a teddy bear. He's extremely nice. And he's very non-confrontational. So it's always interesting to see, and we always talk about this with social media, right? What we put out on social media is usually so different than who we really are. I find that idea so scary, but also it's something that we can all relate to, is that, you know, we show people what we want to see, what we want them to see. Like, I want to show you Ben Affleck memes. That's what I want to share with you guys. So this saga will continue, unfortunately. It seems like this is going to go on for the rest of my life. Hopefully not the rest of yours. And we'll follow it as until I can't take it anymore. Eventually, I will claw my eyes out and poke holes in my ear so I don't have to hear or see any of this. But for now, I can handle it. Oh, okay. I talked about this yesterday and I didn't have the right number, or they had closed down the number, because this school project, this elementary school project that I thought was so awesome, I wanted to share it with you guys because you might need some encouragement or you might need some advice from kids. And I thought this was like the coolest project done by these teachers. So this project I'm about to talk about, it was envisioned by Jessica Martin and Ashera Weiss, who teach art at Westside Union Elementary School in a place called Healdsburg. And they said, we wanted to do a project that was going to be simple enough to do and call on kids to think about what they wanted to say in the world to uplift other people. And as we all know, we've been going through a lot these last few years. So we wanted to do something really simple but profound. So they went to each classroom in a very small school whose 141 students range in age from kindergarten to sixth grade. And they gave these kids a simple prompt. They said, it's been a very few rough few years. You kids are incredibly resilient and you found all kinds of ways to stay joyful. And they encouraged the children to think of moments when they felt frustrated and they received good advice or come up with something helpful on their own. So all of the responses in this hotline are really coming from the kids and their own life experience and the advice that they've gleaned over their short years on the planet. Now, this was right up my alley just because it makes me smile. And I mean, some of this stuff actually is profound. I've spent way too much time on this. So it was flooded with calls, so much so that they had to take down the old number, but I'm going to give you guys the new number. If you guys need some kind of pep talk today, if you need words of encouragement, here's the number. And this is free. If you have, there's not a charge for this. It's 707-873-7862. Now let's call this together so we can, so I can let you know what we're dealing with here. Speaker, here we go.
Hi, welcome to Pep Talk, a public art project by Westside School. Please listen to the following options for encouraging messages. If you're feeling mad, frustrated, or nervous, press 1.
Always.
If you need words of encouragement and life advice, press 2.
I do, yes.
If you need a pep talk from kindergartners, press 3. If you need to hear kids laughing with delight, press 4. Or encouragement in Spanish, press 5.
Okay, let's do 3. Let's do 3. I can do it?
Keep trying.
Keep trying?
If you're feeling mad, frustrated, or nervous.
Okay, we can do it. Okay, let's.
If you need words of encouragement and life advice.
Let's do words of encouragement and life advice.
If you need a pep talk from kindergarten,
be grateful for yourself. Dude, live it up.
Live it up.
Be you. I trust that you can make things right. Be happy. Try it again. Believe in yourself. If you're feeling up high and unbalanced, think of groundhogs. It's okay to be different.
Always stay together.
Don't give up. Power through.
We already like you.
Never back down, never give up.
The world is a better place with you in it.
Everyone is capable of doing anything. You just have to let yourself shine.
Bro, you're looking great.
Be responsible.
Be nice.
Is weird.
You are okay.
We love you.
If you. Wow, it's really cool, right? I'm tearing up like the wussy I am, but I love that, and I wanted to share that with you guys in case you needed something to hear that too. You guys, that is the perfect intro for our guest, who I believe is a very positive person as well. I can't wait for you guys to hear this. Of course, we know her from Real Housewives of New York, but she does so much more. You can find out everything that she does at her website, heatherthompson.com. That's HEATHERTHOMSON.com. She really does do it all. And I strongly, strongly recommend checking her podcast out, which you get the information in the intro, but I'll put it in the show notes as well. But you guys ready to holla? You guys ready to holla, mama? Because we've got the one, the only Heather Thompson. Here she is. Welcome back to So Bad It's Good. Today is a day of note. Today is a day that I could have only dreamed of 2 years ago. There are certain people that are in this reality show world, even though this person is so, so much more than that, that you watch and you're like, oh, I hope someday I would actually get to talk with this person. And today is that day for me and for us. Very generous with her time today. So the thing you might know her from, which is so silly thinking about of everything else she's done, but a little show called Real Housewives of New York. You might have known her seasons 5 through 7. And of course, we don't even need to bring up season 13, but she's done all of this. But also she's been this kind of amazing thing that saw a gap in the industry and made this kind of beautiful. We're going to talk about all of her businesses, but also just so inspirational. Her podcast that you can download and subscribe right now and go leave a 5-star review is called In My Heart with Heather Thompson. Heather, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. What a lovely intro. I appreciate all of those things that you said. So kind.
Well, and so nervous. I in my head, I had done it so much better, Heather. And it was, I guess the first question, how sick are you of saying holla?
I don't think I'll ever get sick of it because it wasn't something that was made up or, you know, trying to appropriate anything. It's something that I use with me and my friends, and it was an encouraging term. And it was like, you know, holla back at me or, you know, like cheers kind of thing. Like, you know, just, and it was a part of my life and it was a part of my vocabulary, and it naturally happened. And then it was forced after that. So it was like, you know, the producer was like, you got to have the Heatherism, you know, you got to put your, and so it was amazing how, I mean, I get nails on a chalkboard kind of stuff. Like sometimes just things annoy people. But it was such a harmless thing that annoyed
It never annoyed me. I was just cracking up when I was doing research. It was just like, I was going through your taglines and it was like, season 5, my success is built on making women look and feel their best. Holla. Season 6, a true New Yorker never backs down and I'm no exception. Holla. Season 7, I'm stronger than anything in my way. Holla. And I was like, amazing messages. And I love that they incorporated the holla into it.
Thank you. I'm glad you saw the authenticity in the messages. Thank you.
You seem like one of the most authentic housewives and people, because I was telling you before we started, I subscribed to your podcast recently and I just went through like 7 episodes, and it's this amazing thing, you guys, because, you know, there's things like Carol Radswell's on it, Dave Quinn, the author of the book that we all know and love, you know, they're on it, but it's also so much deeper. I was listening to a yoga practitioner today. I was listening to a sex therapist. I was listening to these things that are geared towards women, but also I got so much out of it. You guys, for her year anniversary, she talked to Tina Knowles. I don't know if you know Tina. It's like Beyonce's mom. It was incredible. Why podcasting to share the messages you want to share? What drove you to that?
I think it was that, you know, I could be in control of my own messages, and that there were so many things that I wanted to get across on television, but it wasn't the Heather Thompson show, right? So basically, after my experience being on television and, you know, being in the public eye and understanding how people would look to me to things or find information, I just realized, you know, how blessed I was to come across in my life such extraordinary people, whether I knew them or I didn't know them or I just met them. And I wanted to share that, like someone like Tina Knowles, who's been a huge mentor and, you know, owns a piece of my heart. And so to be able to share her and the way that I know her and what I think makes her so dynamic and layered, I wanted to get into that with old friends and new friends. And that's really what In My Heart is all about. It's about the things that, you know, I'm a very curious person. I'm always curious and I want to keep learning and keep evolving and growing. And so people that interest me, or I'm like, wow, I never knew about that, or mind-blowing stories of survival or overcoming things, you know, that's what I want to share within My Heart.
And you are, like, I mean, it really is truly an incredible podcast that, you know, I was like, oh my gosh, I feel so silly now talking about the Kardashians. Like this, you're pushing, like, I mean, but it's so nice because I'm at this point in my life, and I think a lot of us are coming out of COVID, or potentially we're still in it, where we lost a step, where we are a little nervous and a little inward right now and don't know exactly what the next step is. And it's so refreshing to have somebody out there like asking these questions of saying what is going to make us not just the best woman, but the best person. And, it's this inquisitive mind that I always thought you naturally had, but I think there's takes a big heart to do what you do. And that's why I think Housewives is such an interesting calling card, because sometimes they don't go for the heart, you know, like, I mean, we love you and loved you, but it does, you know, hinge on drama, or it hopes to hinge on drama. And you even talk about this different times of, you know, this was a great calling card for you and a great way to talk about your business. Did you count on the rest of it, though?
Not really. I mean, I think that I was naive going into it, for sure. Both times, by the way, you know, but at least I showed up as my authentic self. Like I don't study it. I don't try to fit in or be what, you know, and the show has changed a great deal from the beginnings, you know, to where you can see it today. So I think that the idea of being on the show and having that experience was an idea that I had an open door to understand anything that was going to come with it, the good, the bad, the ugly. Like I was open to the experience. So I tried not to put too much leverage on it, because, hey, if it was terrible, it would be terrible for a minute and I would get through it and I will have said I did it and I will have learned a lesson. And even though it wasn't terrible the first 3 years, I can't say that about the quick return and exit. But it still left me with lessons about the most important person in my life, and that's me. So I learned about myself. I was able to self-reflect on that show and evolve and grow into a better human. And I don't think I would have had that opportunity if I hadn't had the good, the bad, and the ugly of the housewives.
I was listening to you talk about being grateful. And that is something that I struggle with every day. Like I fill out this journal in the morning of like three things that I'm grateful for. And I'm like, coffee. Like I struggle
with
it.
That's okay. Coffee can be something you're grateful for.
But I love people. And it seems, you know, that you really genuinely are this grateful person. And it's like, I want to try to emulate that. Like, were you always this person? Did you grow into this person? Where do you come from? And how did you grow?
I've definitely grown into it. And it comes from life experience, right? And perspective, which part of the reason for the podcast too, is because I have two kids and you mentioned, you know, like we're teaching both men and women. You know, it's not just about women because of the women Me Too is happening. It's about very much about equalizing, you know, a playing field of equity for everybody. That's, I think, what's most important right now today. And so I forgot your question.
No, just saying, have you always been this way?
Oh, yeah, like, yeah, I mean, no, did
you
grow
like
not.
Did you used to be like, sorry. I used to be really negative.
So no, I haven't always been that. You know, who I was when I first started working for Puffy. You know what I mean? And then who I was when I was working for Jennifer Lopez, and then who I was when I was working for Beyonce. Those are marked times of my life. And I can look back at those times and what was it that I was focused on, right? When I worked with Puffy, he pushed me as hard as anybody could ever push me. I realized through him that I bend, but I don't break. And so I didn't know that about myself without that experience. You know, Beyonce is someone who taught me like pure humility. That's why she's your favorite, because she has a heart of gold and a soul that matters. And she's, you know, believes in spirit and faith and leaning
and
into your brother.
And hard work, you know.
And hard. And that's what I was going to say. That's the caveat that loops it all together. You know, Jennifer taught me about multitasking and things like that. But even Jennifer Lopez, I mean, from how I knew her, I've watched her evolve. We all hopefully take life's knocks and scrapes and scratches and put them in our journey book to say, gosh, if that didn't happen to me, I wouldn't look at things this way. I wouldn't see it that way. So perspective is, I think, something we gain in life experience and with aging. I want to just teach a little bit of perspective to people who come after me. I want to give them a little bit of a playbook as to, you know, what to expect, you know, what to look out for, just the things that my parents and their generation weren't even in touch with.
Yeah. Can you, I mean, like, I love talking to my mom about like going to therapy and she's like, why do you need that? I mean, you could talk to me, you can talk to, you know, like, it's so funny. They just weren't raised with the same opportunities that we have to kind of like, broaden our horizons and become, you know, totally better in so many ways. Is it interesting to have to teach your children these things as well? I mean, is that another struggle? And I want to teach my perspective to you guys.
It's my heart. You know what I mean? Being able to tell them like my wisdom, my knowledge, my experiences, how, boy, I did that once. And guess how it turned out for me. I share with them everything. I tell my kids, you know, everybody has different parenting styles. I tell my kids the honest truth when they ask me a question. I never lie to them. I may push pause and say, let me think about how I want to answer that, you know, but I open myself up to them so that they have the book of my life experiences, the good and the bad, and things that I'm learning still today. You know what I mean? Was something that I learned, you know, there's a lot like our parents' generation didn't really talk about self-love, right? But, and we were taught those little things like boys don't cry, and that's bullshit. God gave us tears for a reason. And so a lot of the old, adages or bumpers, if you will, that society has brought on us because everything was supposed to be in a perfect little box and they like things neat. I like to blow all that stuff away because none of it's true. It's an illusion. I think one of the struggles of being a human being and being an adult is to recognize that there's no one going to come and save you, but there's definitely help along the way. You can only save yourself. You can only make the change that you want to see in your life if it starts within you. And people don't really, it sounds fluffy and they don't know exactly what that means, but if you can get down to the anchor of it through storytelling, through experience, what that really means, I think that there'll be a lot of heartbreak saved. You know, I'm watching this. I watched this show last night for 2 seconds with my daughter. I watched one or two episodes, Love is Blind.
Oh my God. Yeah. What do you
my
think
heart
of Love is
broke
Blind?
For some of the women who were like deflated because he was talking. I'm like, the whole concept of the show is to make jealousy happen, to make, you know, and I'm watching these people who really want authentically to find a partner to fill a void in their life, to, you know, be that empty missing piece. I want to tell them all, you don't need anybody to fill a void in. You got to fill your voids. And then you got to find the partner that can help, you know, enrich that, support that. And not expect them to be the end all be all, because nobody can be. That's just a falsehood. And when we look at partnering in life.
Well, that's, I mean, I watch even shows like The Bachelor, and I always crack up when the guy's in the room with 30 women. And he's like, I can feel that my wife's in this room tonight. And I'm like, how would you ever be able, like, what? You must be insane then. Like, that just doesn't work like that. Do you watch those shows like Love is Blind, though? And now you know how these shows are stitched together, or Frankenstein. Do you ever go, oh, come on, I know exactly what's going on here?
I don't watch reality TV. I never watched The Bachelor because it went against my grain as a female. That was just my opinion on it. Yes. And, you know, if people just took it really lightly, but there were hearts and minds, you know, that are getting shattered, and, you know, real people that are, you know, just being destroyed, or their confidence is not built up. It's like, I never was a fan of The Bachelor because it's just not where I want to spend my time. I have so many things I feel like I could be lending into than, you know, taking into that toxicity. And I think, unfortunately, the reality shows I like to watch, the guy who's building a house in the woods for a family that are trying to be, you know, kind of live off the land, or pioneers, or, you know, foraging their own food and grow, being sustainable, being off the grid. That to me is really interesting reality, because like the reality is that we got to get this job done before the snow comes, and you know what I mean? And like, you know, and of course it's like all the music and all that stuff. But I like watching real reality. I like watching real people, real human stories. I love documentaries. I love to see truth about humans. There's so much dynamic things to happen than forced stuff.
I always say that, in this world, you know, I used to teach acting and stuff, and it would be like, well, the character wouldn't say that, this is just too crazy. I'm like, have you looked at real life? Real life is 30 times more exciting and crazy than you will ever. Like, I mean, just look at somebody in a subway. Just look at somebody in an airport. You could just disappear and somebody's story, just watching the gait of their walk or the smile or the frown on their face. And that's why, I mean, I love documentaries too. And I think reality shows, of course, were the offspring of that, but it's almost sometimes like a redheaded, you know, bastard child of like, we took this and we started.
I feel like reality shows were more the offspring of soap operas.
Well,
than documentaries.
Yes.
You know, yeah. I guess maybe it's kind of a mixture, but they kind of took a real life identities and put them in a soap opera type setting. You know what I mean? Yeah. And so that's what I used to like about the reality shows. When I joined them, when I got asked to be on, and I went and looked at a few of them, and I was like, oh my God, I could lean into
meeting. Well, you thought you were
going to
be on The Apprentice, right? Did you think you were going to
be on The
Apprentice?
I thought I was going to be on The Apprentice.
Okay. That's what I read that. And I was like, is that true? And then you wound up on Real Housewives of New York.
Yeah. I thought they wanted my product. They thought they wanted my business to appear on The Apprentice as something that they were going to try to like do a campaign for or whatever like that. And it wasn't until a few minutes into the call, you know, a few seconds really into the call, I understood that I was actually being, you know, asked to audition for The Real Housewives of New York. And I was like, oh my God, oh God, no. But I did it anyway. And I have zero regrets that I did, going back, even though it is nothing at all that I thought it would be, or nothing that I hoped that it would be. I do think people know now that when I was on the show early on, like way back, and it was like, is it real? Is it really scripted? I think people understand it's a produced entertainment television show. And so I don't worry about that much about any of the stains that may happen, because I show up as who I am. If you watch me, you see who I am. You don't need to believe an edited TV show who
I
am.
You have confidence.
That's not easy, by the way, either, but
But you have confidence in who you are. You believe in who you are.
Well, I know who I am, and I've, and it's been a painful journey to accept my truth, stand in my truth, admit when I'm wrong, know when I've got to lean in and do the work, you know when, you know, intent is very important. And I don't want to ever say that it isn't, but understand that impact sometimes can outweigh that. So I think all of that is stuff that I take and I put in my, you know, my bag of work. And, yeah. And that's, so that's what I take from the experience and the show.
Well, I also think it's, I mean, first off, do your kids know you're a legend? Do your kids know that? Or are they just like, mom, come on? Cause I have to imagine you've been out in the past and people come up to you and freak out over you or something. Yeah. Do they find all of this part of your life silly, or do they like, that's really cool, mom?
I think both. I think it's a matter of both. I think when they were really little and people would come up or interrupt us, you know what I mean? Like, and in well-meaning ways, when they were little, they were kind of like, what are you doing? Like, I was talking to my mom, you know. Now but then I would explain to them, you know, and they was like, oh, you know, and they would, Ella would get in the picture or whatever. Now they are teenagers. So they have opinions, they have, you know, points of view and perspective, and we share in that. So we use it still as a place to communicate from. You know, it was a family decision to do. When I went back to the show, I said, you know, what should I do? And, you know, Jax really didn't, he's like, mom, I don't really see the benefit. I mean, when you watch it, when you look at it, like, it's not really who you are. Like, and I was like, well, I feel like I can lean in and help. He's like, if you feel like you're going in because you feel like you could be helpful, then I want you to do it. And when I realized I was not going to be helpful at all, that I was actually in a position that I had no right even to be in, I realized that was going to really work against me, and I'd rather be helpful off screen and lean in and do the work off screen. And
so basically, so you're saying Jax is a genius.
It wasn't an I told you so moment for Jax, but they supported me trying and they supported me exiting.
I would have, by the way, that's the camera I would have loved on, is that family conversation, like the pros. And I mean, those are the things that really, truly fascinate me as I get deeper into watching these shows, because that's, you know, I feel like we have to, you know, we have the suspension of disbelief, like this is really happening. But the story behind the story is so much more fascinating than the story itself, I find. And especially in this past season, which I, you know, am I allowed to ask, like, how did they pitch it to you that you would come in and be the positive light that you are? And that was exciting, because I feel like they pitched something to you that went drastically wrong in a very weird season, not just from you, from across the board. They did. It felt like a very sloppy, didn't know where we were going season. Did they pitch it to you in a certain way?
Yeah, they pitched it to me that it was, I was going to be a bridge, that they saw me as a bridge. And yep. So, I mean, who doesn't want to be a bridge? You know what I mean? But I didn't really understand that, you know, that I was going to be putting myself in a position to be advocating, you know what I mean, for, you know, for people that I shouldn't be advocating for, but I need to lean in quietly and be supportive. You know, for example, the microaggression, when that happened, in my heart, I knew better, but I made an honest mistake. I used the wrong word to the wrong person. You know what I mean? And it was a wrong setting to use that word. Now, I was happy that I made the error, because this is exactly why I went on the show, to show that we're human, to understand that just because you know something to be one way doesn't mean it's someone else's truth. So when I made that microaggression, as I walked out the door, I hit myself on the head. I said, I can't believe I did that. I go, but it's good, because I believed in that Ebony was there, yeah, for the right reason. And I believe that it would be a good scenario, yeah, between us, that could be a teachable moment. And I could show my underbelly and go, boy, did I mess up. And here's why, so that people would take it and use it in their lives and go, geez, I didn't know that was a microaggression. So, and it's a microaggression. That's exactly what it is. But man, I got slayed. I got called a racist, white trash, a white supremacist, a Karen, and again and again and again, and every other thing. And I just thought, what a shame. What a shame. And so, and as it continued the editing, you know, I realized it was just, you know, for the drama.
But it's interesting. I mean, that was like, we're coming off of 2 years, you know, where everybody's angry, and everybody's angry for so many reasons, and so many like reasons of substance, and sometimes with these shows, you know, you have to delicately, like, I don't think you know, it's painful for me to watch Ramona not learn. It's painful for me to watch these people that have given me so many amazing comedic moments, which so many, to be polite, and to go like, you know, it's hard. It's just an extension of what we're going through in America, which I think is important. But sometimes these shows don't handle it. There's no nuance. So it's like, we need to have a bad guy and we need to have a good guy. And this season just seemed like a Twilight Zone season of like, what is how? I don't even know. And then Ebony's new, she's trying to make her way. But, she came in and got Leah mad at you at that one scene. And you were just in there like, what? Like, you look like you got sucker punched. Like, yeah. You like rope-a-doped. And I was like, this is so bizarre. This is so bizarre. So were you scared then to be like, I'm out, or were you confident?
No, I wasn't afraid at all. It was the easiest decision I made. I said, this was a mistake. It's not the right fit. I have no purpose being here. I have no desire to be here. We all have 24 hours in the day, and this is not how I'm going to choose to spend 1 second of mine. Not 1 second of my time do I want to choose in this environment. I'm not adding to anything. In fact, I'm a part of the problem now. And so, you know, someone like Ramona, I've never even said this publicly, but I'm going to say it. I mean, I've said it publicly, but I've never said it in a, you know, place like this on a podcast or something. I changed my colors. I changed my true colors for the show. That is one thing. The first season, when you see me interacting with Ramona, that is the truth. I found her abhorrent, her behavior abhorrent. I found her to be rude, obnoxious, you know, all those things. But then what I did is I tried to find things I liked. I tried to lean into the show. I tried to lean into her, and she's never evolved. She's never changed. She's the same exact person I met, even worse, I would say, because someone should evolve. That's part of like growth as a human being, but I'm not going to judge any of it. Now I'm just going to live in my truth. And so I tell the truth. I'm not covering for anything. I'm not going to, if someone asks me, did this happen? I'm going to say the truth, and I'm not going to pretend, and I'm not going to change my spots, because ultimately that was so damaging to Heather, to me as a person. Cause now they're going to say, oh, but you said you guys keep in touch and you said this and that. Yeah. Like once a year I'd call her, and I kept in touch because of the show, because I felt like I was supposed to, but it's not that I wanted to. And what I was met usually at the other end was obnoxious, abhorrent, rude behavior. It's never changed and never will change. And so
it's who she is. It's
exit left, honey.
I love that, but because it speaks to so many people, whether it be our own personal like family members or just like they lean into this horrible behavior, and they think because there's a certain years lived on this earth that they're allowed to be abhorrent, that they're allowed not to learn, that it's almost a pride of like, look at me not learning. This is, you know, like, and I feel
well,
like
this
is a dangerous.
Well, I mean, outside of reality, well, because it's very obvious to see that Ramona's been rewarded for her abhorrent behavior.
Exactly.
So,
yes.
But like, let's take it out of the reality world. And so a lot of times when people act out like that, the people around them are either too afraid to say anything, or they don't want to cause a stir. They don't want to see the volcano erupt, or they're dealing with a narcissist. You know what I mean? Who can never really see into your emotion or into your struggle. They can only see into their own, you know, I think that's like, they're never going to be responsive to your conflict is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah,
a narcissist will never be responsive to your conflict. And so that means your feelings of feeling left out, or your feelings of not being heard, they can't see any of that stuff. And so I think when we're dealing with people that don't want to learn, that don't want to listen to people who love them, then you're dealing, you know, with people that you have to choose whether you want in your life or not, or you have to lessen the expectation of the role they play in your world.
I was just talking to my friend who's getting married in October, and there is so much to plan. You gotta do the food, you gotta do the food tasting, you gotta book the venue, talk about the DJ, and then not to mention all of the emotion that goes into this. And then all the while you're like, ooh, what would I do if I had a wedding? I've been a part of a lot of weddings over the years, and it's an incredibly stressful process. You go from this newly engaged bliss to overwhelmed by invitation paper and flower colors in the blink of an eye. So using Zola helps with wedding planning from start to finish, and it makes every decision easier so you can stay in your bliss.
With Zola, you can plan your entire wedding in one convenient place. From the day you get engaged and search for the venue to the day you send out your save the dates, make your registry, and even taste that delicious cake. Zola has literally everything you need to make the whole process super easy and actually enjoyable. There's even a 5-star app that helps you plan on the go or on your couch. Zola helps couples plan the wedding they really want with tons of unique features and personalized recommendations based on a couple's preferences. Every Zola wedding is as unique as the couple planning it. They've thought of everything you'll need and have built every tool to get you to I do, including customized checklists to get you moving, keep you on track, and prepare you for what's next. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
Apes hunt humans.
That is wrong.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
You guys, now is the time of the show, my favorite time of the show, where we highlight our sponsors for this week. And we got two great ones, two returning sponsors. Our first one is Seed. Now, Seed is a probiotic, folks, and I got to personally endorse this. I can't say enough good things about this. First off, comes in this really cool packaging. It's like green. It's hefty. They also come with like a little pill bottle that you can take on the road. It's just really exciting for that. Now, I also started taking probiotics because I needed them because my doctor recommended them when I was on the antibiotics for the staph infection. They're like, you need probiotics because it's going to tear your stomach up right and left. I don't need to get into that too much, but I started taking these every day, and I was taking them actually even before that. I've been on them for like a month and a half now. And it's just, I feel like I'm doing something great for myself. I do. And it turns out everything you think you know about probiotics may be wrong. So, probiotic tortilla chips, that I think that's too good to be true. So good news is, though, is that Seed's Daily Symbiotic is the real deal. But remember, not all probiotics are created equal. Now, they have a thing that I've been taking called the Daily Symbiotic. It is a broad spectrum 2-in-1 probiotic plus prebiotic. It's a proprietary formulation of 24 distinct probiotic strains in scientifically studied dosages. Now, it's proprietary engineered 2-in-1 capsule that protects probiotics through digestion to ensure delivery to the colon, where it's going to do all of the work. Now, if you've taken a probiotic before, which you might have, and never felt a difference, it's likely because the good bacteria wasn't surviving your GI tract. Seed is designed differently, and that's why I'd like to say that it works. So what does Daily Symbiotic do for you? It supports benefits in and beyond the gut. Yes, Seed will support ease of bloating, healthy regularity, and ease of evacuation, if you know what I mean. This is a family show. But it will also support your gut barrier, your skin health, heart health, and micronutrient synthesis. This is a side note. Gut immune function is not boosting the immune system. It's about supporting the crosstalk between your intestinal cells and your immune cells, if that makes sense. So many see improvements in digestion within 24 to 48 hours, which can include bowel movement regularity and ease bloating. I feel like, no, we can talk. We're closed. We can talk about bowel movements. It's fine. If you need more information, this is all going to be up on the show notes as well. But I want you guys to start a new healthy habit today. So visit seed.com/sobad and use code SOBAD to redeem. Get this 20% off your first month of Seed's Daily Symbiotic. That's seed.com, say it with me, /sobad and use code SOBAD. And they didn't really highlight in this, like I told you, the packaging. The packaging's dope. Like it really, the bottle and the pill bottle it comes with, I really dig it. Now this Smart and Sass, I talked about this a couple of weeks ago as well, because it's like this subscription box service. that gives you all of this cool stuff, and it's kind of geared towards women, but I found some stuff even old Ryan wanted. Annabelle DeSisto was in town, and she took the sheet that came with this like pocketbook purse. She took this notepad. It was like this really cool notepad with all of this stuff. She took those off my hands, which I was like, I think she stole them. I don't know.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
But anyways, we all know adulting is bullshit. It's an onslaught of, WTFs at least 20 times a day. Sometimes we just need a break from the day-to-day drab. Maybe a couple of cuss words, a middle finger or two, a few great laughs, maybe this podcast, whatever it takes to put adulting in timeout. You need Smart Ass and Sass, the subscription box that will say everything you want to say so your mouth doesn't have to. Smartass and Sass items, they're curated and personally tested by the Smartass and Sass team, which, by the way, can you imagine saying you're on the Smartass and Sass team? I might just say I'm on that team because it's fun to say. So it's a group of really mouthy mofos who want you to get a good laugh in your day-to-day life. SNS partners with some of the best small businesses to bring you trendy and snarky items each month. I said this before. I think snarky gets looked down on. Now, I am a huge fan of snark. You got to have heart too, but I think snark, there is a great place for snark if you're an okay person. Like I said, the box that I got was so great. I said this before, but it is true. Like, I got this box in the mail and I thought somebody sent it to me and I was like, sweet. I had no idea it was a sponsor. So I was like looking around. I was like, is this for me? And then I was kind of excited. I got excited because there was like a mini stapler in it and like kind of these cool paper clips that had funny things. It was like cool. And then I found out, which just shows you, if you mail me something, I will gladly take that stuff. Each big box will include one SNS design t-shirt. Cool. It'll always have between 7 to 9 unique items. Very true. And it's valued at over $90. So how do we do this, Ryan? How do we get this for us, for a family member, for my daughter, for my niece, anything? You can do this by going to www.smartassandsass.com. That's smartassandsass.com. Use code SOBAD for 10% off your first subscription order. And you can also follow Smartass and Sass on social media for your daily dose of attitude. I always feel like I should snap, like, your daily dose of attitude. Anyways, folks, now is the time for the remainder of the show.
Follow-up question. Will you be my life coach? I was on your website and all this, you do all these like amazing retreats. You do all of these, like, when did all of that start coming into these things too? Because I'll put all the website information on the show description, but it's worth checking out because I was like, okay, you got the podcast, you do the, but then you're doing all of these insane, like, retreat, not insane in a good way, like retreats where I'm like, whoa, that looks crazy. Like, that looks awesome. Like, where did this come from? Why? I mean, I noticed one was just in January. Do you have more coming up?
Yes. Yeah. So we have one coming up in just a week. I'll be leaving for the beautiful Gulf Coast of Alabama. We're going to the sun. I need a little sunshine in my life. And I'm working with the Grand Hotel. It's a beautiful historic property on the Gulf Coast. And my retreat started really with me as a business owner, me owning my own business as an entrepreneur. As I moved into the world of entrepreneurialism, I was asked to speak. I was asked to be a panelist. I was asked to be on television as an expert, you know, from CNN to CNBC to all of those things. And through that, I garnered a following of people who would ask me for advice, ask me for questions, that sort of thing. Then you throw the housewives into it. Obviously, your platform grows. I really try to keep mine authentic. It is what it is. I'm not trying to have a bunch of followers. I want engagement from people who want to engage in the things that I find interesting and important to me. And if that's not something that you find on my feed, I'm not for everybody, and that's okay. So just through that is the retreats have come out of it. Heather Thompson, my adventure travel. Nature is everything to me. And it's so important for me to spend time in nature, whether it's like just sticking my toes in the sand for a meditation or just to feel that vitamin D coming down on me, or it's pushing my limits and being really uncomfortable hanging off the side of a mountain. You know, I think nature provides us unbelievable reality of how sad life can be. You know what I mean? Like the big one eats the little one, you know what I mean? Or, and things happen, a hurricane happens, like the power of nature and the resilience of nature and the beauty of nature represent everything that's important to me. And so I find it's my church. I mean, I know you've heard a lot of mountain climbers and people say that. I am the clearest thinking after I've been in nature. I feel the most gratitude. I feel grounded. I meditate. I think the deepest when I'm in nature. And so my retreats are about teaching what I've learned from amazing guiding and amazing teachers and bringing people into self and listening to the truth that I have found in my inner voice, not the monkey voice, the true inner voice that if you really take pause and don't answer the question yourself and with your own head, but you ask yourself the question and you take pause and you let it come to you, your truth will always reveal itself. We just don't listen to it sometimes as humans. With
the gremlin, or I call it the gremlin voice. We always listen to the gremlin voice, which is not the real voice. Gremlin voice is going to say you're less than, you're not good, you suck, everybody's better. And I have a really strong gremlin voice, but you're right. Like if you actually sit in something, you can actually learn so much more. Anyway,
you know
sorry.
The ego says, you know what the ego says? The ego says, seek and do not find. The ego loves to see, you see? So it's really taking, and we all have ego. Even my favorite Deepak Chopra, like we all have, but he manages it, right? So it's all about, the emotions are going to come. It's really about managing the emotions, because you can't manage other people's emotions, right? That's why they say you can't control how, you know, someone acts. You can only, you know, control how you react. As an adult, you know, I have an obligation to manage my responses, to manage my opinions, to manage my anger, to manage these things. And we don't always do it, but we're going to get angry, and there's reasons to get angry. And I believe in the emotion of anger, but I want to always kind of reduce anger, work to reduce conflict, work to, you know, move toward relationships that are fulfilling and less toxic.
Well, you were talking about that in the podcast. You were saying, you know, like, I've never, you know, sometimes if there are, you know, toxic people in my life, you don't have to sometimes make a big deal. I'm not talking to you again. Like you'll just, you know, you just let it fade away, you know, and there's strength in that.
And it could be a lesson that you were meant to learn. Like some of the people that I found were some people I had to exit out of my life or, you know, just move on from. They served a great purpose for me. And some moments of that relationship were spectacular. And I'm so grateful for them. But now they're over. And it's time for me to move on, especially when I reveal the illusion to myself. You know what I mean? I try to fill in voids all the time with people and things and objects. And I just now I try to catch myself. And then I have... like if, for example, a narcissist, and there's, you know, so many people that are, you know, suffer from that kind of abuse where they're not seen by that other person. I try to now see the signs for that. I try to look out for the signs so I don't find myself going down that same path again. I'm like, oh, I see you. I know you.
Yes.
Nice to meet you. I'll cheers my beer and then I'm going to move along my merry way.
Life does this horrible thing where it really does show you repeated lessons where you're like, oh, this happened again because you're an idiot and didn't learn it the first time. Like you, like it really shows you the exact, like I'm in the same exact relationship.
Yeah, look at American history. Look at what the professionals, the scholars are saying on television. You know, I mean, God, you know, we're talking World War III here. Have we not learned a thing? If you do not learn from history, you are going to repeat it. And you can look at it at the biggest scale. God bless the Ukraine that we're in now, or you can put it in the small scale of your everyday choices.
You're so right. May I ask, do we still as humans collect new bad habits as we go along? Collect new, like, do you, is there a thing right now that you're like, Heather, that you got to work on this? This is becoming an issue. Like, do you still have things where you're like, whoa, you know, like I've got to watch this. I got to work on this.
Yes. I mean, until there's like light pouring out of my head, I'm going to be doing all of those things. I'm going to, you know, but the thing that you said that's so important is you said, wow, Heather, I've got to stop and take a break. So self-realization, self-awareness is the most important thing, because you're not perfect. No one is. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to fall into old habits. You know, the awareness that you're there is the first step to move out of it. You know what I mean? And so I think that I struggle with that, you know, when I'll fall into an old habit and mm-hmm. I'll get down or I'll beat myself up and I'm like, whoa, just recognize that you've fallen into this old habit and start to move away from it. What's the first thing you want to do to get out of that old habit? You know what? I'll say something really easy, like say I'm, you know, eating too much sugar, like something very simple like that. I've fallen into this habit of snacking or something like that. All I do is the next day I say, I'm going to have one less snack today. I'm going to try to reduce what I know is bad for me. And I don't make it some lofty goal. I make it today. This is what I would like to accomplish.
Yeah.
And that I think we set ourselves up with New Year's resolutions and with weight loss goals or relationship goals. We set very lofty goals for ourselves and we set ourselves up to fail. You know, someone says, do 100 push-ups. You're going to go, oh God. Someone says, do one push-up. Just start with one and one will lead to 100.
Of course, we heard about your podcast in this past season, Real Housewives of New York, but in a different way than actually what the podcast is, which cracks me up, because if you guys listen to this podcast, which I highly recommend, go subscribe right now and go rate it 5 stars right now. It's the quickest, freest thing that you can do to support somebody that does this kind of like, you know, out of the goodness of their own heart to share something. But, you know, it's not a salacious podcast. It's not something where you're like, and I'll tell you what about Countess Luann. Like, it's not that at all. It's something so much more than that. So I cracked up when hearing the episode where they were thinking that you were talking mad crap about them. How do you pick your guests? I mean, do you get pitched your guests, or are you always out there going, I want to talk to that person. I'm going to go after that person.
It's both. And the funny thing is you're right. Like, you can't talk about the podcast until you actually listen to the podcast and not take a sensational headline out of a newspaper or whatever it was.
You're telling me Page Six wants to create salacious headline? That's so, wow. Page Six is like a number one news source. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. They've told both sides of my story also. So both sides of the story, they've given, you know, two sides as a journalist should, which I appreciated. But I pick my guests through people who I know, through a Rolodex of people that I have been, you know, humbled by, inspired by, loved by, that I love back, that I think have something to share. Also new people like Maya Shaka. I just had Maya Shaka on my podcast. And for those of you who don't know who Maya Shaka is, I told her she needs to be a cocktail. We need to make her a destination, a vacation destination. She is my girl crush. I am so inspired by her. Maya Shaka is the first ever Black woman to officiate in the NFL. So she officiates she's only the second woman to officiate, and she's the first Black member of the officiating teams of the NFL on field. She is like drinking meditation. She is so zen. This is a girl and female woman who has come up with lots of barriers, lots of struggles in her life. She's had to overcome so much, but she's also had a lot of support. And she takes, I feel, the balance of both of those equities, and she delivers it we need her as our politician. We need to get Keanu Reeves to like multiply her for us and put her in every office seat. She is a stellar individual who has this calmness about her and this trueness about her that is awe-inspiring. So I didn't know her. I saw her on something and I said, I got to know more about her. I've got to talk to her. And so we seek and we push and push to try to get people on the podcast that, you know, I believe will be helpful to my listeners.
if you're one of my dream guests, who are your dream guests besides people like Maya? Is there a bucket list or even just in your personal life of one day I would love to have just a 2-minute conversation with this person?
Well, thank you for saying that I'm your dream guest. That means a great deal to me.
You made this so easy.
This is filling my heart.
This is why the podcast, she's made this so easy for me today, you guys. She's fully formed. As a podcaster, not a person, anyway. As a podcaster.
Let's see. I think there's so many dynamic individuals. So like Deepak on would be a dream guest for me. Someone like Viola Davis, I find her to be just such a magnificent human being. I would love to have her. Someone who I'm pushing for right now is I'm a big fan of, and she's so popular. Everybody gets to see her, but I just feel like more and more of her is needed, especially in this time of fear. And that's Mel Robbins. I love Mel Robbins. And so I'd really love to have her come on my podcast. And I recently just invited her. So wish me luck. And, Deion Sanders is an old friend of mine. And,
he just has that documentary.
He's just showing the world, like he's got such an unbelievable spirit and so powerful in his faith and his belief in our maker and how he's played that forward in his life and looked back at mistakes he's made, all those things. I just find Deion to be, a hero. And, he's just gone through a terrible surgery. He just had two of his toes amputated for a surgery, foot surgery gone bad, and, really difficult, uncomfortable times, but, he's going to keep rising. So I'd love to have Deion on my podcast.
And he shares that journey, you guys, on an upcoming documentary with the toe, he shares all of this, which should be hugely inspirational and just wild that he would be that open, which is just amazing. As we start winding down, and these are kind of bigger questions, I guess, I keep thinking about the concept of forgiveness, of, it's hard. Like, what is your beliefs in forgiveness? Is there true forgiveness? Do you have that for yourself? Do you hold grudge? I tend to sometimes hold grudges to the point where I can't get out of my own way. And I don't, what is your opinions on forgiveness?
I love this question because it's been one that I've worked on, and I used to hold grudges too. I did. And I found that, when there's anger, when you have this anger, it means that if there's anger in something, it implies a wish, right? I wish something could be different. I'm frustrated or I'm angry because it didn't work out the way I wanted it to work out. So anger implies a wish. So when I hold a grudge, I say to myself, what do you want from this person? And most of the time, if I really, seek deeply, it's either I want to be heard, I want to be seen, and if I know that person can't do that with me, then I no longer have a wish. And then I no longer have any anger. And so there's no grudge. It's just that I've moved on. It's almost like my intuition caught on to your spirit and it doesn't work for me anymore. It doesn't work for what I'm trying to get out of life. And I learned this lesson that I want to teach you. Be cautious of playing the victim. Because when you play the victim, you give power to that argument. And so life is hard, and we begin to accept that life is hard and people are going to be cruel and people are going to be mean. And a lot of times people are got their own, life going past them, and they don't realize they're not thinking of you or what. That's why we always how in your mind, it's like, I love this classic really fast. I'll tell this story. So a man and a woman are driving in the car, and the woman's talking about life and how she's feeling, and he's kind of not paying attention. And she's like, you're not paying attention to me. And I thought we were somewhere in this relationship, and we're not where I thought we were. And just forget the whole thing. And she gets out of the car and closes the door. And the guy's sitting there kind of shocked because you see his bubble over his head. And he was thinking, when was the last time I had my oil changed? 32,000 miles. Where am I with the oil gauge? So like we make shit up in our own heads. That's the monkey brain. We make these scenarios up in our own heads. And instead of doing that and playing the victim, and giving power to that argument, just sit and wait and watch and put yourself out there and know, ask yourself, what is it I want? And then go after it. And if you're not getting it, then fade to black. It doesn't have to be a big dramatic thing. And if it's worth it, that old saying, if you set something free, it'll come back to you. If that person recognizes the loss in their life, they'll come back for you.
Yeah, it's just interesting. I've just noticed that, and I don't know if it's probably always been this way, but especially the last couple of years of people, there's a wanting to get attention for like the feel bad for me approach instead of like, look at my work, look at this. It's I want you to feel bad for me, and can I get attention that way? And sometimes that's a really disturbing thing to watch because people fall into that. I think social media is a very bad representation of that, of like, you know, hey, having a horrible day. Can everybody tell me they love me? Which is cool. You're telling your desire, but sometimes people lean so much into that they totally ignore their own personal stories, wants, and desires, you know?
100%. I have this picture on my phone. I have four of them because I took them of myself. I was crying. I was in so much pain. My heart was wrenching. I was crying. I was hurting so deeply. I was letting those emotions out. And I snapped my pictures and I was like, I want to be brave enough to post this on Instagram. This is me today. This is me right now. And the only reason I haven't done it is because honestly, I don't want the outpouring of people worried about me.
Yeah.
Because it was a moment in time. And by nature of letting my emotion and my pain and my anguish out, my tears dry themselves. And then you're on the floor and you kind of look around and you're like, okay, well, that's over.
Well, Heather, I'd appreciate if you gave me that photo so I can post it. I would love to have that kind of,
I'll be happy to give it to you and you can post it and be like, this is how I'm feeling today. Like Heather looks.
Yes. Okay. The couple quick ones. You said, you know, you've mentioned Puff Daddy, Beyonce, all of these amazing people that you've worked for. Can you tell me what each one taught you? I know you had talked about Puff Daddy in the terms of resilience and things like that. And is there a thing with these people? Like, I know why they're where they're at because of the type of person they are. It can't just be dumb luck.
So hard work, 100%. Like when I say hard work, like I get the goosebumps. That is what I had in common as a human being with Beyonce, Jennifer, Puff. I had a strong work ethic. I was taught that, you know, if you want it, you better go get it. And by the way, good luck with it. You know what I mean? We'll be here, but we're not going to really help out much. We don't know how. We don't have the wherewithal, you know, my family. So I had to go out and get everything I did. And my father was an immigrant. So, you know, he came from a broken home in Scotland. And so like when I had a bike, you know, even though it was a used bike, like if I didn't put it up on the kickstand, he'd be like, oh, no, you respect your thing. So I keep my things. I keep my things well. I care for my things. And so hard work was something I had in common with those people. So when I had the opportunity to work for Puffy, I went in like, you know, gangbusters, and he saw that I had that work ethic and he knew that I was going to be on the front line with him every time I would be there. And so I had really good relationships with all of my incredible celebrities because I showed up on the line every time. They knew that they could count on me and that I was never going to fail them. I didn't get in trouble a lot by Puffy like other people did because I did what I said I was going to do. And when I say I'm going to do something, God damn it, I fucking do it. And if I can't do it, I'll be the first to raise my hand and be like, whoa, this is too big, or this is how I'm going to have to get around it. You know, I'm not afraid to fail, but I certainly will never not try. So that was a commonality that I had with all three that kids, and they showed me even more resiliency, more work ethic. And, you know, Beyonce to this day, you know, her cousin Angie just posted about this woman's work ethic, you know, in the studio with the album, hours without sleep. And then she says, finally, I'm going to go get some rest, only to show back up an hour later because it's just too good and it's too important. You know, so having a passion for something and a drive for something, which is all three of those had, and then I got to glom onto their passion and then with that go and create my own, you know, and become an entrepreneur myself through those experiences. They taught me humility. They taught me to bend, don't break. They taught me to multitask. They certainly taught me to have a voice. You know, I was never a yes man. You could ask all three of them. I let my opinions be known. I wasn't afraid. I didn't let fear get in my way. And I stood up for what I believed in. And when I needed to get smacked down or I needed to try again or I needed to do better, that's exactly what I went back and did. And so those experiences with those superpower people, those superhuman people who have gone on to do great things coming from, I mean, Beyonce, listen, she had amazing parents. She had a middle-class, upper-middle-class upbringing. You know, a lot of people don't, but she worked her ass off at her talent shows and she did all that. Puffy, his father was shot and killed when he was a child. There's nothing fake black about Puffy. I was responding, that still bothers me so greatly because I love him and all that he's made and all the struggles that he's gone through and his beautiful mother, Janice, who is a dear person to me. They are the example of putting your head down and not letting life beat you and having your faith and pulling through. And Jennifer, the triple threat, the first triple threat of all of them, look at how she has evolved through her relationships. And you've seen her with her relationships with men evolve. Now she's full circle back to the true love of her life, Ben. And she's got these kids and she's got this humility about her. I love all my lessons for my celebrities. I hope that answered your question.
No, it does so much. And one of the most frustrating things about life is that what I even learned, you guys, I talk about this all the time with this podcast. Like, I've never worked this hard in my life. But the only things that it sucks that it's true when people say, you know, the only things that are really worth anything are the things that you have to work so hard for. And it's such a hard because you're like, oh, it just really is hard work to have a modicum of success, a little piece, you know, just to move the needle just a little bit. And I think you've moved so many needles in your career. And I'm so excited just to have talked to you. And I'm so excited to recommend this podcast to people. If you don't already listen, you've got to listen because there's just so much knowledge coming out of this person. And I know we want salacious things. I know we want, and you know, I love pop culture. We talk about this all the time, you guys. We do. And we're going to continue to talk about that. But I wanted to talk about something deeper today because I had somebody deeper with me and I wanted to honor who this person really is. So thank you so much for sharing so much time with us. And I guess the final question is, how good of a singer is Countess Luann?
I think she's worked at it. And I think the truth of the matter is that she has a passion for it.
Exactly.
She loves to do it. And so that's what she goes and does. And you she's successful you can say at a lot it. Of things about Luann, but you got to give her kudos for doing what she loves to do.
And successful at it. She sold out like the Wiltern in Los Angeles years ago.
Live Nation. Exactly.
I mean, come on.
Yep. You get there when you love something and you stay at it, which she did, then I think you'll always find some sort of success.
I love that. Is there anything else that we can support you with? Is there anything else we need to know coming up? When is the book? When is the new book? There's got to be some new book because also just a compliment too. When you went on Watch What Happens Live to explain your side of this, I loved how you did it. You explained your truth. You were not, there was not nerves, not like, oh, please like me. You explained your truth. You held your head up high. This is actually what was meant by it. And I think that's a very interesting thing, to do in this day and age of just saying how you approach something. And this is why I'm sorry. This is what I did. This is what I thought I was doing. Thought it was really well handled and beautiful. But what else can we support you with?
Thank you so much. I appreciate all of that so much. So Beyond Fresh is my business. That's my baby. That's my beautiful baby. I love it so much. It's a organic food supplement collection. You can go to beyondfresh.com and check it out. It's on Amazon too. You know, as a health coach and looking at people with their health and struggle for their health. I mean, if we don't have our health, what do we have, right? We all know that. And it's so important. And we have there's a lot of barriers against us, a lot of things working against us when it comes to good health, a lot of propaganda, a lot of convenience foods, a lot of, you know, stuff that's just not true. So, I like to take, for me, it's always like the old and the authentic, the historical, the things that have worked through for years and years. And apple cider vinegar is how it all started because it's a superpower, stomach corrector. It's a superpower stomach aid. And our gut is really one of the most important pieces of our system. It's like our second brain and we house our immune system in our guts and our mood is in our guts. And of course our nutrient absorption and elimination, what we need and what we don't all happens within our gut. And there's people around, walking around America and the world with really bad belly issues that can be easily corrected through nature, the fermented food, like a pickle or sauerkraut. But the easiest thing, and you got to eat them consistently, and we need probiotics. And fermented food has probiotic. It's got live bacteria. We have our microbiome, our guts are built of good and bad bacteria. And think of it like a garden. If you don't weed out the bad of the garden, the weeds overgrow the delicious tomatoes and fruit and all that stuff that you're growing. So you got to weed out the bad bacteria. And something like an antibiotic could strip your belly, or processed food could strip your belly. So the long and the short of this is I created an apple cider vinegar that was delicious. So I broke down the barrier of taste, that pungent taste. I removed the issue of acidic, you know, hitting your acid, hitting your teeth. Because Jax, my kid, with all the antibiotics he was on, it was a really good ritual for him, but I couldn't sustain it with him. So I set out like any good entrepreneur does. And I went and I saw a hole and I went and I filled the hole. And we are the only delicious apple cider vinegar out there on the market.
It's Wait, so organic I can buy apples. This? I can buy this right now.
Yeah, you can go to beyondfresh.com and buy the ACV cleanse. I love this product. I also do gummies, you know, so that you have it on the go. Yeah. So throw away those chalky tablets that are just masking the problem and go for apple cider vinegar, which is correcting it. If you can just take the stuff the way it is direct, get it in you. If you're having gut issues, like, and some of the signs are like lethargy and belly bloat and skin eruptions and bad sleep and dull hair and mood.
You can just say my name, Heather. You don't have to like, you can dance around it. Yeah, you're talking about me.
You
right
look
now.
Like you have none you? Of those. You look like you have none of those problems. So go on to beyondfresh.com and look, those are all supplements to help you in your steps toward a journey that's a healthier one, or to make better choices and crowd out bad choices. There's no such thing as good and bad food in my opinion. And I don't like diets. I like using food that nature offers us to fuel our bodies, to bring joy to our systems. And if that means a pizza party with cheeseburgers and cake, go for it. But what's your choice the next day? And so I like to try to get people to make sustainable change in their life. So it's not a choice. And like, I don't do this. I don't do that. I don't do this. I don't do that. You don't even think about those things you didn't used to do. You don't even see those words on the menu. You're driven toward the things that you know really, truly nourishes you.
You got to be my life coach. I need to know your reading list. I need to know all of it. Okay. Anyways, you guys.
You bet. I'm happy to share.
I'm going to post all of her information. Go, go, go support. This is just so inspiring for me to have this conversation. I needed this today. So I know you guys will need this. Thank you so much for spending all of this time with us. It is such a treasure. Will you just say mama one time for me?
Oh, holla mama. I'll give it to you all, baby. All right,
5, 4.
Betches.